If you'd open your, now you can hear me, okay. If you'd open your Bibles with me, we're going to read our scripture for this morning. It's Numbers 22, and I guess you can read it on the screen this morning too. Okay, so it says, "Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron." Sounds like an interesting sermon. May God bless the sermon today and Pastor Omar as he's speaking. Maybe, Doug, do you want to come up now? Okay, thanks.
Hey, I just want to start by saying thank you to Steve for that reminder this morning about being grateful and telling people about that, even when they are doing what might seem like a menial job at a restaurant or something like that. They're working hard, and being thankful for that is an amazing way of just improving their life. So thank you for that reminder, and I appreciate that. I would love to invite Pastor Omar and Barbara and Jomar to join me up here. While you're doing that, I'm gonna brag on our pastor and family just a little bit, because this is the day we get to do that. Actually, we should do that way more often, perhaps. But so I just want to say thank you to you guys as a family, and I'll speak as from my school position perspective. You guys have been an amazing asset to our school. And as a church, we invest a lot into our school, and to have that support from the pastor and family, and it's the whole family, you know, Jomar as a student in the school fills that role, and he spends a lot of time doing his schoolwork and things like that, but every time I ask him to do something, he does it. And as of yet, he hasn't complained. He, you know, his parents may not get the same privilege at home. I don't know, but at school.
Tell me what your trick is.
So as of yet, I have got no complaints. So, and Pastor Omar comes in 3 times a week. I've never had a pastor come in 3 times a week into my school. If I could get him once, yay! And so. When I was setting up the schedule and when he was going to come in, I came up with 1 day a week, and then he offered 3. And I wasn't sure what to do about that. Whoa. And Barbara, not only is she teaching kindergarten, which is a labor of love, you don't even understand. So she's doing that and doing a bang-up job of the thing. But she is also added just an energy to our school and some ideas and things. So if you were at the program yesterday, that was Barbara. So I stood up and said something. Some things. Carol did some stuff. But for the most part, that was Barbara that pulled that together. And that's just who she is. For a church, so Pastor Omar, I don't know if you've noticed, but he has been challenging us as a church to get better at what we do. Okay, and that's the role of a pastor. So his goal is not to take over and do our job for us, but he's doing exactly what God has called him to do, and to be the leader to encourage us to be better at what we do as a church. And give us tools to do that. And so I am very grateful for that. And we are grateful for that. And as a small token, there's a card here. And there's some stuff in the card. And so we just wanted to share this with you guys as a family. And say thank you for what you guys have already brought to our church. And we are so grateful you're here.
I do what I love, and I love what I do, and I do it from the bottom of my heart. So thank you, Doug, for those kind words. I honestly couldn't do it without my amazing wife and my son. So, thank you, baby. And thank you, Jomar. Sorry, got it. Just hit me emotionally. I'm a little bit here or not here only because last night I went to sleep very late at 2 a.m. We came back from getting Pastor Ramirez from Dominican Republic. He's going to be helping the Spanish church, helping me with the Spanish church as the Bible worker slash evangelist. He's been there before, and he's helped greatly with their campaigns and things like that. And so, in actuality, I'm actually learning from him because he knows the church much better than I do. He doesn't know that, though. He calls me boss already, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not your boss. But yeah, he's a very nice gentleman from what I've got to know. We had a long ride last night from Pasco. And so I'm a little bit out of it. So please forgive me if I lose a little train of thought today. another thing is I had an amazing time yesterday at our school. I was so proud of the kids and them trying to put this whole heritage thing together. You know, and so I'm very proud of them. We have some of them here today with us, and good job. Very creative. Some of you guys were really creative, and I was really impressed. And I also want to thank the church for supporting them and being able to go out and meet the families of a lot of the kids. So thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to be intentional, and you guys are doing a wonderful job in that. We have some great things for the school, and so I'm excited. In the future, you'll get to know some more projects that we have for 2022. Some big things are going to be happening, and hopefully you will be, you'll be on board. So I'm excited about that. Okay. So I had an interesting situation happen to me one time, with Jomar. Now, I don't know if I told this story not before, but it goes a little bit with what we're going to study today. One time with Jomar, I had my wife always used to tell me, don't leave him in the car. Okay? She used to tell me one thing, don't leave Jomar in the car. Now, Jomar was about a year old. And for the most part, I followed that instruction, right? It was a wise instruction. Don't leave Jomar in the car. So one day, my wife is texting me. She's like, hey, honey, I need you to go pick up a poster at for our, we were going to have a week of evangelism. And we had a friend that he does all the posters and all that stuff for us. And so I was like, yeah, yeah, no problem at all, babe. I'm passing by his house now. So I get to his home. And I'm like, hey, bro, are you there? I'm here to pick up the whatever. And he's like, yeah, come upstairs. Okay, this is just going to take a minute. So I blast the AC because it was hot. I blast the AC. I leave the window a little bit cracked open or whatever. And I go upstairs to go get the poster. Jomar is completely knocked out. That's why I didn't take him with me. I didn't want to wake him up and, you know, cranky baby and all that. That's how fathers think. So that minute, if you guys know Pastor Omar, that minute turned out to be 20 minutes. And then it turned out to be half an hour. And Jomar, and I just completely forgot that Jomar was in the car. Barbara just found out about this, by the way. That's why she's not like, what? And sure enough, when my friend says, hey, you got to get going, right? And I said, oh, Jomar. And I run down the stairs, and Jomar's not in the car. My heart dropped. I looked to my left. I looked to my right. I'm thinking he was only about a year and a half. I think he was about a year and a half. He was just learning how to walk. So I'm like, where did this boy crawl to? How did he get out of the car? Let alone the whole seatbelt thing and all that. And of course, I thought somebody kidnapped Jomar, which they did. So I'm looking to my left, looking to my right. This gentleman comes out of the building and he's like, are you the owner of this vehicle? I said, yes. Why? And he's like, yeah, did you lose something? And I said, yes, sir. He goes, what did you lose? And with a tear in my eye, I said, my son. And he goes, you're a bad father. There was Jomar with his wife, eating a popsicle, all happy about life. Hi, daddy, you know, type of thing. And I'm like, you know, my heart just, and he goes, never, ever leave your son alone in the vehicle. You are very fortunate that it was, you know, my wife and I were the ones that saw him there. And he, I guess he had woken up and he was crying like crazy. And the funny thing is that he went with them. Like, they were not, I guess he got tricked into the popsicle thing. Instructions, following instructions is so important, even when we think that it's just, it's nothing. I mean, in this case, it was something big. I learned my lesson, never left Jomar again in the vehicle. Unfortunately, yeah, that's a good thing. Unfortunately, Moses didn't get that opportunity. And I want to show you a little bit of something that I learned through this particular story that most of us may know from either watching the movies of Moses, Prince of Egypt, right? Or maybe just reading the Word of God. Let us pray so that the Lord can guide us today. Heavenly Father in heaven, we come to you thanking you because you don't leave us alone in the car. You are always with us. You always want to guide us and instruct us and help us to become better, to become more like Christ, more like you. We've fallen away from you, Father, and we need you so desperately. As we open the Word, I just pray that you allow us to see what's there, how we can not only learn from this experience, but be able to grow and share from it, Father. We love you, we thank you, and we pray for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the book of Numbers, chapter 20, it says that then there is the children of Israel, the whole congregation came into the wilderness of Zin. In the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now, there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, against the leaders. And what happened there? It says, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines of pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. And so Moses and Aaron went to the presence of the assembly, to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. And we'll stop right there for this moment. So here we have the Israelites. They just came out of Egypt and they're going through their emotions. They're going through they're looking at their circumstances and it doesn't look too bright. You know, it's going through this desert and there's no fun at all walking. And I don't know if anybody, for those that have been in Israel, I mean, that sun hits you really hard. Then you have the desert. You know, you have this dryness. Your mouth is dry. Your lips get chapped very easily. And you're going through the motions. I remember just recently I went to Dominican Republic. And I was going through the motions of this heat, this constant heat. And even if you took a million showers of cold water, you come out of the shower sweating. And you're like, but I just took a cold shower. How can I be sweating out of just from taking a cold shower? So these people were very uncomfortable in their circumstances. I believe a lot of times we go through these experiences in our lives as well. Very uncomfortable circumstances. Situations that we don't want to be in. Situations that make us think twice about our circumstances. And what can we do about it? We want an answer. This week was one of those weeks for me where I just didn't have answers. Many prayer requests. And as a pastor, I feel like people expect me in some way and somehow to have this extra connection with Christ, with God, and like make fire fall from heaven. And that's how I feel. That's my expectation. That's what I'm supposed to be able to do, right? You're the leader, pastor. You have extra dose of the Holy Ghost. But can I be honest with you? As a leader, at times, I feel that my prayer doesn't even hit the ceiling. I feel as though God doesn't answer quick enough. I struggle with the reality that maybe my faults is because that person is in their mess or they're struggling. And so, I'm very emotional today, but sorry about that. But the reality, that's the reality. So if I feel like that, what about my congregation? What about my people, the people that the Lord put before me with their struggles? And then they look up to you like thinking that, hey, I need you to save me. I need you to give me some answer. And the only thing I could do is come face to face with God and just pray. Put my face down and just pray. For the best. For God to allow some miracle to happen. So this week, I had to go to a home that had some type of demonic presence in the home. They were seeing things, shadows, and things were moving, open doors, closed doors. The poor lady was dying of cancer through her bones. She has cancer in her bones, and she's suffering, but all these things are happening in her home. And so I get this call. And it's not that I have doubt or anything like that, but I don't give power to those things. I ignore them, you know what I mean, type of thing. And so to explain to this person that they just need to ignore it and pray that God is there and with them is not enough. The pastor has to go there, which is my job. I love what I do and I do what I love. So I go there and I start seeing the problem and praying and I'm hoping for the best. I said, Lord, I pray with all my heart, and I know that your presence is here, and I anointed the place. I sang songs. I mean, I don't even sing, guys, okay? I sang songs. I mean, I did everything I could in my power and my belief and my faith. And so the next day, I asked the person that works there that takes care of the lady, and I says, how did it go last night? Anything weird happen? And she goes, no, nothing happened. But nothing happened at all. I actually was at peace. Except that the elderly lady, she was crying all night because she was in so much pain. And her daughter thought that it was because you came and prayed. And so she's blaming you. Because before that, her mom wasn't in pain. And I'm like, what? I came to bless. I didn't come to curse. But that's how they felt. That me coming there actually brought them a curse upon their home. When they were the ones that called me to help them with the situation, which wasn't nothing that I could do, anything different than what she could do. Then I get a call. While I was there that night, I received a call, but I couldn't pick up because I was there from 6 to 10 dealing with that whole situation. And one of the families in Chelan, in our Chelan church, their daughter ran away from home. And they haven't found her. It had been already a day, and they haven't found her. And Chelan is not a huge place, like, you know, where you can just walk to places without being seen, I guess. I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem that way. But not being able to find her, she took out all her money, wrote a letter, apologized, but at the same time saying, I got to do this. And so I'm like, really? Like, oh, man, what can I do? What is in my power? What can I do? The only thing I can think of is go over there and look to see if I find her. And so, but I couldn't do anything at the time but just pray. Put my face down and pray to the Lord. I have no power at this moment, powerless. And then, that same night, something in my spirit was stirring up. I have a friend that they discovered that he had cancer in his pancreas. And he was very, very bad shape. And I'm like, Lord, let me see how he's doing. We had prayed for him last week. So I called up my mama. His mama is like my spiritual mom. And she actually texted me and said, Omar, he passed away last night. And this is a very close friend to me. I grew up with him. And I'm like, wow. What am I good for? Where are my prayers going, Lord? Why don't you answer me? I definitely don't want to end my start my Sabbath like this. And very frustrating, very frustrating. Anyways, at that particular moment, you know, it just made me think a lot. And to be honest, if it wasn't for me going to the kids and actually being around kids and doing what we did for the school, the kids, you just feed off this energy, this unbelievable energy. But even with that, I was still kind of heartbroken over my friend passing away because he had a life of turmoil where he had an addiction to drugs. And I was so concerned over I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I didn't get a chance to tell him to come to the Lord. I didn't get a chance to do that. And then this young girl who I also am very fond of, their family, and the pain that I could only imagine what that would feel like. So it was just a lot of things, a lot of no answers to these prayers. But here in this book, in this particular chapter, in this particular story, the Lord gave an answer to Moses' cry, to Moses and Aaron's cry. Here, we see the Trinity manifested in a way that they all work together for good. We have the water, we have the one that speaks, and we have the rock. All in one, ready to make some action happen. Do you believe that God is ready to have some action happen in your life? Are you ready for the action that's about to come? Because let me tell you something. When I prayed those prayers, I did expect something to happen. The only thing is that it didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen. And that's the we problem. We want things to happen like this. We want the Lord to start working now at this moment, thinking that he hasn't worked on it before or he's already working on it. We are the problem. In reality, we are the problem a lot of times. We put the stumbling blocks in front of us. We put up the wall, and then we want God to take the wall down. We limit ourselves. We only believe that it only goes up to the ceiling when we pray. And so I want to encourage you, because look what happened here. As the Lord is working things out and showing basically Moses the answer to their solution. And he says in verse 8, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation together. And then he says, speak to the rock before their eyes. Speak to the rock before their eyes. This is the moment in which God was going to show them the glory and the power that he has. But not only that, my friends. Because you can have all the power in the world, but that would not convince the people. What convinces the people is what is behind the power, which is the love. See, you, in order to see God, we can see God all powerful, almighty, but without love, then that's all we will see God as, just powerful and mighty, that he could just come with a magic wand or speak words into existence and it happens. But behind the story, there is love. And it is what God wanted to show the Israelites, that yes, I can give you all these things that you request, but in all honesty, no matter what happens, do you love me? Because I love you. But I want to know, do you love me? And so there is this notion that God wanted to show the people of Israel that he loves them. But unfortunately, my man Moses, who was going to have a power that no other man on earth has had, who was going to have the same power of God to speak things into existence, he was blinded by his emotions, by what he felt in his heart, by the anger, the disappointment that he had on his people, by the frustrations. How many of us have not been frustrated to the point that we get blinded and we don't see the bigger picture? How many of us have gone through that, right? How many of us allow our emotions, our tears, to say, are you there, God? Where are you? I need you desperately. Why can't I hear you? Why cannot you speak to me? Why cannot you answer my requests? And so all he had to do was speak to the rock. He was going to have this power. I mean, like, this is better than Superman power type stuff. I mean, to speak to something into existence? Where do you get rock and, like, rock and water don't equal each other, right? It just, there's no way that, how was this to happen? And let me tell you something, for those that have been in Israel, we've seen this. So that's like saying for the sand to be converted into water, basically. Because there's very little bit of water. Remember, we went there and they told us, hey, the water that we have here is really for the tourists. But if you save a little bit, everything helps the whole community. That's how desperate they are for water, because they have their droughts. And here is Israel desperate for water. They just didn't know that the water that they were going to receive was the living water. They didn't know that the rock that was to save them was Jesus, and that the one that speaks is God. This powerful combination of the Trinity, all there with love, ready to give the love, pour down the love that they had over them. And Moses had this particular moment in which he was to represent God's power, but also his love. And what does he do? He chokes. And it says, and Moses and Aaron gathered their assembly, verse 10, together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. wow, we are a bunch of rebels, aren't we? Must we bring water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted his hand and struck. He didn't speak. He struck the rock twice with his rod. And the beautiful thing is that even though he didn't follow the instructions that God gave him, God was merciful. The God that we serve is merciful. He's full of grace. And in that moment, he could have struck down Moses so fast. He's done it before. But he had mercy on Moses' life and on Aaron's life. He had grace. He showed his love. Now, the people didn't know this, but I think Aaron and Moses knew this for sure. Uh-oh, we messed up. It says that the water, right, came out abundantly. It wasn't like a little stream. It wasn't like a, you know, it was just this, it was almost like a river flowing through the congregation, because not only did the congregation eat, but also drink, but also the animals drank as well. Verse 12 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I have given them. And so that was their punishment in a way. But they lived. As a matter of fact, a couple chapters later, Aaron passed away. Moses then later on passed away, was resurrected, as we know. And so today I come to you a little bit in the same way as Moses. I'm not going to strike the rock, but to tell you about the rock. As I complained to the Lord, because that's what I did, I complained to the Lord. I called my friend up, my best friend. I said, hey, man, do you know about our other friend that passed away? He's like, yeah, man, I was there. I was in the hospital when he passed away. And he told me, you don't need to worry. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, he was able to surrender his life to Christ at the end. And he forgave his mom and he moved on and he asked for forgiveness. He had struggled with church because his mom was very strict with him and kind of pushed him away instead of bringing him into church. And so he rebelled for 40 years or so, rebelled against the church and whatever his mom believed, rebelled against God. And he was able to come to peace. He understood that God put that situation in his life to bring him to his knees, to save him. And sometimes situations in life, that happens for us to realize that there is a God that wants us to be saved. Then I got a call from the father of the daughter that went missing. And I apologize for not getting to him sooner and all this other stuff. And he says, no, don't worry. He goes, one of the church members found my daughter and she's back home. And I was like, wow, Lord, you are so awesome. The other lady told me from the house that nothing has happened since then in the house, and that they want me to come back again to come and pray and to be with them. I told them that Barbara sings, so next time maybe you sing and it would be a lot better than me singing. Yeah, less pain. That's how powerful God is. You know what? He's so awesome because even though we struggle with our faith sometimes, it's okay. I wanted to play a song for you guys that I played for the kids the other day. And it talks about, it's going to be all right. We're going to go through some difficult moments, church, like some real difficult moments. This is nothing. I know some of our church family have lost their jobs or are losing their jobs because of the whole pandemic thing. There's a lot of people struggling out there. But I know that God has his people ready to give the final message to this world of hope. And he has had mercy on us, so much mercy on us, like he did to Aaron and Moses. Even if we didn't follow instructions, he's willing to give us the break so that we can finish getting this message out. So we only have a couple months left for 2022 to start. Start thinking on how we can get this community going, riled up, letting them know that Jesus is coming soon, but also helping them in the process. I shouldn't say I have a great idea, but it wasn't my idea. It was God's idea, and he confirmed it through other people. But we're going to be working together with the Spanish church. I don't know why we have two separate churches. That's just my opinion. I know that language is a barrier sometimes, but it's not everything. Sometimes I don't even like calling it the Spanish church. That's just, we're Seventh-day Adventists. We're one church, one people. One people that God has brought together from different places, different denominations, different everything to work for one accord. And that is to finish bringing the gospel to the world. And so my prayer and my ultimate goal is, before anything happens to me or whatever happens to me, is to make sure that this community knows that the Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Brewster is alive, number one, that it serves a living God, and that it is a safe place for you to come to worship God, and that it has a purpose in this community to serve, but also to share the gospel to the world. And so it's only 3,000 people, my friends. If both churches combine together, each person takes on one person in the community, I think we will reach the 3,000 goal. And maybe not all will convert, but they will all know about Jesus. They will all know about this hope, the promise that he's to return. I'm tired of living here. Don't get me wrong. Yesterday I went to Pasco and the scenery was beautiful. And I said, Lord, how much more beautiful is heaven? How much more beautiful is being face to face with you? This is just a glimpse of your glory. I want to go home. I want to be with you. And I want to bring everybody with me. Help me to do that. So I know you guys will help me to do that as well. And so let's work together. We have an awesome, you guys are an awesome congregation, awesome people. I've met, if not all of you. I want to share you guys with this community and do something different, something radical, something that will awaken and just let them know that Jesus is here. Amen. That is my goal for this year in 2022. I don't know what that entails. That might entail that we might see people here that we didn't think were going to be here, and we have to love them unconditionally. It might be messy, really messy. You know, broken families. I mean, you name it, it's going to get messy. May we have the compassion that Jesus had. May we have the compassion that the Lord has upon us, because there was one point too that we were messy. And that we still are messy. We're not nowhere perfect. We're still messy. Come on, guys. Let's admit it. So we may think we have it together, but no, we're messy. And the Lord still deals with us. And so that's my goal this year with you guys. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm emotional about it, but I'm allowing the Lord to drive us through, to get through the desert, whatever it is, and to take us home. I want to go home. I hope that is your desire today as well. As we think about that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you once more, thanking you for being so compassionate with Moses and Aaron. Even though they didn't follow instructions, you still bless the people abundantly. Father, I want to learn from that lesson. I want to hear you, and whatever you speak to me, I want to do. And I know that sometimes it's hard. You and I have our battles together too. But you've won my heart over and over again. And in the same way that you've won my heart over and over again, I ask you that you do the same for my people, for my beautiful church. There are broken hearts in this congregation. There are frustrated individuals as well. Anxiety, depression. It's all haunting us, Father. But you have the solution to all this. You speak to our hearts. You allow us to know what it is that you want us to do. And so we will follow you. We don't want to have a we problem. We want to be those that solve the problem with your grace and with your love. Help us to bring that and share that with the community. And help us, Father, to share that with our families too, our homes. We need Christ in our homes more than ever. As Satan is trying to devour and break us all up and divide us all, allow us to stay united. Allow us to work together. Allow us to see you soon coming through those clouds. We love you. We thank you, Father. Forgive us if we offend you in anything. Take us home. In the name of Jesus, amen.